ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, 6 minutes after the hour. This hour, the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by Saturn. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000.
Oh, what?
Cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry, your Saturn retailer today. Oh, my God, the show's going to explode today. Representative Keith Ellison of the great state of Minnesota coming up. Carl Frisch will co-host Right Wing World with me next hour. David Plouffe.
Yes.
Barack Obama's campaign manager about his new book, which I can't wait to get into that next hour. And Hal Sparks, it's Hump Days with Hal in hour number three. Holy moly!
You're going to do the Humpty Hump.
And you know, before I get to anything, if there's a future senator on the phone, I take that call immediately.
That's
Representative
right.
Joe Sestak of the great state of Pennsylvania. Hello, Joe!
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Congressman. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I feel like a little kid in the back of the car on health care reform. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Well, we're not there yet over there in the Senate. That's why I want to end up over there here.
Right.
I'm running for it to be a little more bold and aggressive. But we're understanding the Senate's having a caucus this morning, and we should hear afterwards whether they're going to release portions or synopsis of the bill that they are about to put out. And we hear it has a public option, but I can't make for sure.
Well, for sure if it does. Wow. Do you hear what kind? An opt-out or a trigger or what?
I don't. My concern is it will have some caveat on it, one of the two, but we just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, is going to give Senator Reid today, right? He should be getting the estimate.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. So He's declined to commit to a test vote before Thanksgiving, so we're just not sure what's going to happen. I guess we'll know by the end of today.
That's right. I think there's very little chance, although I had heard that they want to at least have one day of debate on the bill. But I feel less certain about that right now. But I think what we're going to end up seeing, unfortunately, is it's going to take us through December, maybe even to January, before we get something through.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be here most of December, and I'd stay here every day through weekends or anything to get this bill through. But it's just up in the air on the Senate side.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, Leader Hoyer and Reader, they're saying, you know, December 18th, obviously, is their targeting is the last day for the session of Congress. But there's also this jobs legislation, right?
Yes.
Is that going to get through, do you think?
It has to get through. This is something where Americans, this is all about middle-class working families.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost 10.5 million jobs in this savage recession. The Clinton administration created over 8 years, and one of the greatest expansions we had of jobs, 23 million.
Yep.
So if you prorate that, that means it could take us up to 4 years to soak up all the unemployment to get back to the normal unemployment rate. If we have to do anything, it's grow rapidly. So we have to have a jobs creation bill that also protects workers, like extending COBRA coverage so their health care is taken care of, because we want healthy workers. But I honestly believe that we have to be giving some tax credits to small businesses, not the large ones, the small ones that create 70% of all jobs. And the sole piece of legislation I've submitted on that, but we really have to get the small businesses incentivized to create these jobs, plus get back in that $100 billion that the Senate, including Arlen Specter, who bragged about it on his website, took out of the economic stimulus bill that had to do with construction jobs at a time when the unemployment rate among construction workers was 31%.
Boy. You know, there must be a better option for senator in that state. Well, we'll talk about that later. You know, but Leader Hoyer said it, that, you know, clearly 10.2% unemployment is unacceptable. You know, what would be in the bill, you know, for just a layperson? How is it going to create jobs, what you guys are working on?
Absolutely. First off, we should reinsert the approximately of that $100 billion. We have to reinsert the construction money that we've taken out. I would say that's approximately $22 billion of that $100 billion. Number two, what we have to do is And this gets to the small businesses, and I'm vice chairman of the Small Business Committee. I'm also in education and labor because I believe in a skilled, educated workforce. Those are the two sides. We need to have in here the microloans that have to do often with moderate and low-income individuals, that we give them microloans for $35,000. We need to up that to $50,000. Plus, for those often less enfranchised, we give 7A and 504C loans. Those are the kind of loans that you help people with very low rates, mm-hmm. et cetera, to get going. What we want to do is guarantee those loans by the government almost 100%, maybe 99%. That way more banks will be willing to lend. Those community banks that aren't giving credit out right now to small businesses, lend those out. What we want to do is give a tax credit. And I have submitted a piece of legislation of 15% to small businesses that create jobs. And again, I'm stressing the small business side of this. What we want to do is to increase the kinds of loans that are given out from $3 million to $5 million from the U.S. government. What we want to do is let small businesses have the ability to, instead of carrying losses back just 2 years, to mm-hmm. go back 5 years when they used to make profits and make that a permanent, or at least for the next 2 to 3 years make that happen. So these mm-hmm. are kinds of incentives
Listen.
That help create jobs in addition to that construction money that was
right.
taken out.
Congressman, when you talk small business, it's music to my ears because you're talking to a small business.
Absolutely.
By the way, can I have some money? All right, that's for another time as well. Listen, I need to get obviously the highest ranking military officer ever elected to Congress, I got to get your take on the whole Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the terror trials. And I mean, it really is puzzling to me, I have to say. You know, you have the right wing screaming about this. You have Rudy Giuliani, who seemed to be a big fan when, Zacharias Moussaoui was convicted this way. It just seems so hypocritical on its face, doesn't it, to try to, you know, imply that somehow now the American justice system can't handle this.
I cannot think of a stronger signal of our resolve as Americans than to bring them to New York City, to where we are rebuilding.
Yep.
To where when you look out towards the east, we sent our men and women 6,000 miles to hunt them down. I was on the ground, as you know, Stephanie, head of the Navy's anti-terrorism unit for a short period of time at the beginning of that war, did retaliatory strikes, headed Deep Blue as we shaped, that's our anti-terrorism unit, shaped policies to bring these perpetrators to justice. Mm-hmm. And America is founded on that indispensable element of justice, rule of law, not of men. How
yep.
can we not believe that our court system cannot handle this? And
well,
not only that, don't ever permit the terrorists to take us away from our principles of that issue.
Well, you know, and Congressman, as you know, obviously we've talked Afghanistan many times, but are they saying it's better to let them go like we did Osama bin Laden and Mullah Omar at Tora Bora than it is to, like the 93 bombing and Moussaoui? It's better, that's better than trying and convicting them in an American court.
My take on it is that what they are trying to say is they either aren't brought into a rule of law or they're taken into the military tribunals. Well, the military tribunals have twice been declared as wrongly constituted and unconstitutional in one of the two cases that went up to the Supreme Court. We redid the defense authorization bill and out of my committee to try to address that better. All that said, my belief is that eventually everyone has to be brought into a court of law, and you
mm-hmm.
can't just throw someone into a dark hole and throw the key away.
I know. It's not America. You know, Congressman,
you
I've talked about this from the perspective of, you know, that my dad was a prosecutor at Nuremberg, and, to me, yep. it seems pretty elemental. The difference is that was the German army. Those were war crimes. Like, this was not an army. And, you know, furthermore, Nuremberg was in Germany where the crimes were committed.
Right.
I just don't even get the argument against why this is somehow crazy to do this in New York where the crime was committed.
These individuals committed this outrageous act right here on our homeland. I was assigned to the Pentagon when 9/11 happened, and I believe we've done 200 terrorists since in the last 8 years in our court system. We should take care of that issue right here in our court system. And those like in Yemen that went against the USS Cole overseas. Those are going to come before the military tribunal.
You know, Congressman, before you go, I want to get your take on, you know, what the president's decision is going to be on Afghanistan, because I think it is interesting timing, isn't it, the terror trials in New York and
yes.
what to do. Because, like I say, if we had finished the job correctly in Afghanistan,
absolutely.
You know, so I think that these events coming together, so the point is now what do we do in Afghanistan? Now there's fewer than 100 al-Qaeda in Afghanistan.
Yes.
What should the strategy be?
Your last statement was very good. In a sense, it's not about Afghanistan because al-Qaeda is not there. It is about Pakistan, where the al-Qaeda have gone. So I'm a strong proponent that we should give one last, not an open-ended commitment, but one last effort to help close the door along the borders of the al-Qaeda as we support Pakistan trying to eliminate the radical Taliban on their side of the border and that al-Qaeda safe haven. This really is about Pakistan. It should, and the administration tried to do this early on, it should be the Pakistan-Afghanistan strategy. The only issue we can really address remaining in Afghanistan is to leave behind some probability that conditions would be inhospitable to al-Qaeda ever coming back. But if the strategy is linked and those troops are needed to link the support for closing the door in a pincher movement to Pakistan's eradicating that safe haven of al-Qaeda and the Taliban that protect them, I will support, and I think the president's going to go along that line. But I hope he doesn't try to nation build, because that is, it is beyond our, it's too costly now to get the benefit from that effort.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman Joe Sestak from the great Commonwealth, actually, of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Thank you, as always, for taking time for us.
Have a very nice day.
You too, sir. There he goes. I love him.
He's awesome.
Also, he knows he's talking about terrorism because he was in charge of, as he mentioned, the coolest sounding thing ever, Deep Blue. That's the Naval Anti-Terrorism,
yeah.
You don't think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It sounds like Shark Week or something, doesn't it?
It kind of sounds like a Jessica Alba movie.
It just sounds cool.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. By the by, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Jim is out today. He has an audition of some sort.
Yes.
For
a show on Broadway.
No.
I don't know.
It's not Broadway. Broadway doesn't go for booze or dope.
Okay.
It's
Jim sure does.
It may be some other movie where he gets killed in the first few minutes, as he normally does.
Yes.
But maybe he will live longer in this one. All right. Mama is coming to Chicago, by the way, December 5th. The
yes.
Fine Americans in Chicago have sold out
yes.
the Stephanie Miller event.
WCPT.
Stephanie Miller Bill Press event in Chicago, December 5th. But guess what?
What?
You can go to chicagosprogressivetalk.com. You can enter to win a pair of VIP tickets, which includes a meet and greet.
Holy
with
crap.
Bill Press and I, where you can take photos as well as free food and idle beverages of the non-alcoholic sort, premium seating, that sort of thing.
But you can buy alcoholic beverages.
Yes, you have to buy your own hooch. Just like Mama. All right.
You're going to be buying a lot of hooch, I'm sure. You're going to be drunk.
Dear. Oh, yes. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She was abandoned by wolves and raised by Republicans. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour, the rockin' Congressman Keith Ellison coming up in just a couple of minutes on the Newsmaker Hotline. Donnie in Rockford, Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Donnie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, when it comes to economics, what I don't think people understand is that you never really own your property. You don't own a house. You own taxes forever. And when it comes to owning a business, you have to fit through so many regulations that it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, don't I know it? I don't think I've paid a dime of one of those mortgages where I don't think I own my house anymore now than when I bought it.
Well, I'm just saying that I do like a lot of what you guys have to say when it comes to politics. I've listened to you now for a long, long time.
Thank you.
But when it comes to economics, this, you know, value-added tax and taxing on, you know, taxing homes, it just taxing companies, regulations on
Wait a minute. Did I invented property tax? Is that your point?
No. I'm just talking about people that believe in taxation.
Right. We don't have a value-added tax in America.
Well, I mean, come on now. The left wants that. I'm just saying that...
Not necessarily, no.
Okay. But when it comes to regulations on businesses, the reason we're in an economic mess right now is that nobody can start businesses because they're terrified that, well, they are just run out of town because of the regulations and excise taxes and all sorts of things that are put on your business. I ran a small business.
That is most...
After a while, it was just...
Well, I'm running a small business right now, and taxes are not the problem.
What is the problem?
It's the economy in general.
And the lack of credit. The lack of credit is the basis of the economic situation we're in right now.
My accountant, in fact, Donnie was just telling me, like, I couldn't buy my house today. You remember the mortgage? They were giving out mortgages like candy. I hadn't worked in a year when I got my mortgage back when I... But, you know, that's the problem. I couldn't get that loan today. That's what Chris is saying. It's credit.
Absolutely.
A lot of people can afford a $150,000 house on a 7% mortgage, which is about $890 a month payment. But then you find out you live in a county where the taxes are 8%, and that's an added $225 a month.
Well, you also need to do your research about what taxes are in your county before you buy a house in your county.
Trust me, I'm moving to New York next week. Property tax is twice in New York what it is here in California. So Mama probably won't be buying nothing anytime soon.
Can we politically work on that? I mean, you know, let's
yes,
say,
I will get right on it.
The left wins everything you guys want, every dream you have on the social side. We're still left with business people that can't run a donut shop and employ 6 or 7 people because of the regulations and the taxes and the cost of running business is you're paying somebody else other than your employees and yourself, and you have to close up shop and work
Donnie,
for somebody else.
Those are local situations. That's not a national thing.
Well, I mean, the other thing is that, thank you, Donnie, the other thing is that's part of what Congressman Sestak was just talking about. Mm-hmm. This new bill is designed to help small business. I was hearing if we could friggin' get this health care passed, small business is going to be the biggest winner in that.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And I agree with him. Small business needs help. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Trust me, I am one, and you are hanging by a thread, mister.
Oh.
This whole thing's going automated in a second.
You would
just
know. You would
kidding.
Not know how
see,
to automate this thing.
See how I did that?
You would not know how to automate this thing. This thing cannot be automated.
Yeah, we gotta get some of those New York Congress people on the phone. I gotta get on this. I gotta get property tax lowered in New York. Otherwise, I'm gonna be living under a turn something. What do they have in New York? Underpass something.
Viaduct? No,
somewhere.
That's Chicago. I don't know.
Let's go to John in Panama City, Florida, on the economy as well. Hey, John.
Yes, Steph. Your last caller talking about taxation and stuff, I mean, he does have a very valid point there as far as, like, with homes and things of that nature. I don't think once your home is paid off, I mean, you should not have to be subject to losing that home because something happens and you can't pay $100 a year tax bill on it, or 15.
Right, John. Like I was telling the previous caller, that is a local situation. That has absolutely nothing to do with Congress. That has to do with your county and state.
Well, yeah, but you know, I understand that the county and state, but you know, the Congress can pass a law to protect a home, or for instance, like I do have a small business, and I travel through different communities, and every community I do business, I've got to go to that city hall and pay a licensing fee.
Right, that's a local situation.
Thank you. Proving your point.
Thank you.
Congressman Keith Ellison from the great state of Minnesota, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You can tuck me in anytime.
Mama's busy, not now. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 29 points. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. David Plouffe coming up next hour, Barack Obama's campaign manager. He did, I'm told, a fairly good job. Carl Frisch from Media Matters will co-host Right Wing World, and then Hal Sparks for Hump Days with Hal in hour number three. But first, one of our very personal favorites, Representative Keith Ellison of the great state of Minnesota. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
I am all right. I am a little edgy on health care this morning.
You know what? Me too. But I just want to keep on telling people that we have not seriously debated comprehensive health care since Truman, right? Now,
yep.
We did talk about senior care in 65. But other than that, it's been nothing but rearranging the deck chairs, if you get what I'm saying.
Why
so this
your...
is a big deal. We're in a historic moment right now.
Right. We are waiting today to see if we hear anything about the Senate bill. This is Harry Reid yesterday. I want to get your reaction.
All the bills we've seen, it'll be the best. Saves more money, is more protective of Medicare, is a bill that's good for the American people. I'm not going to get into the numbers today, but it'll. I think if you're not impressed, you should be.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to be as good as the House bill. Yeah, go ahead.
My reaction, if it pays for health care in exchange for the rights of women, then it's no good.
Mm-hmm.
The House bill does that. I'm very upset about that. And also, let me just say that if it doesn't have a public option, then, you know, no good as well.
Well, you know, we just had your colleague, Congressman Sestak, on, and he's saying, you know, what he's hearing at least is that there is going to be a public option.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. I am hearing that. I'm just saying, you know, what my bright lines are, you know. And so, you know, I mean, let me just tell you this. You know, the Stupak Amendment, which made it into the House version, is not the status quo. I mean, it's not prohibition against public dollars for abortion. What it is it's prohibiting private dollars being paid to a private company through the exchange,
yep.
which would be publicly administered. But, I mean, it's basically blocking a private-to-private transaction, which is a great leap backward.
And yeah, so well, and disproportionately affecting poor women as usual. I think, no doubt.
Well, yeah, if you got money, you can get what you need, right?
Mm-hmm. Senator Whitehouse said for the first time, what the anti-choice advocates are saying is that the federal dollar now has to control what these private sector companies can offer. That's new, and that's a big intrusion into the relationship of the private citizen with his or her insurance company.
Well, he's right to say so, and it's incredibly ironic that these no big government people are the ones pushing this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
and the right wingers, right, that are saying we don't want to, you know, the government to come between a person and their doctor, you know,
yeah. Unless they're a woman, you know.
Yeah, right.
So it's really offensive. So the thing is, but I just want people to just remember, you know, it took us a long, it was, think back to last February and then think back to last August. I mean, the American public has been through a lot around health care, but this is no time for advocates of change to not keep pounding and pushing. I mean, we can win this. We can, and it's important.
Yeah, it's like we're at the end of the marathon, and we're just sweaty and exhausted.
Yeah, it'll be like, oh, man,
getting convulsions.
It's over.
Yeah, exactly. Are we there? For God's sakes.
Yeah, we're a few miles from the finish line in the marathon. You're right. So tell folks that this is the time to buck up.
Yep.
Get another cup of Gatorade or something.
Yeah.
Now, I know that you guys are also working on a jobs bill, which certainly is going to come as good news to a lot of people, because jobs seem to be job one, don't they?
Well, absolutely. You know, the fact is that we broke that 10% threshold, which is not only devastating to the individual who's looking for work, but it's devastating psychologically to people who are looking at the economy as a whole. I mean, we've got to get people back working. And until we do that, you know, no statistics mean anything other than, hey, I got a job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
right. People can't buy anything if they don't
have
a job. So you're right.
Absolutely. You know, so we got to get – I think we got to pass a jobs bill. It's got to be targeted at people getting back to work. I prefer an infrastructure-related jobs bill because we need to do that anyway. You know, we have well over $1 trillion in needs of just maintenance for our infrastructure that's crumbling. You know, I'm from Minnesota. We had a bridge fall down a little more than a year ago, and so that is just symbolic of an overall problem across the country. So let's rebuild our bridges. Let's put in some broadband. Let's put some people back to work.
Yeah, I love the Republican plan is to fund that after the bridge falls, which is good. Yeah, he vetoed your Republican governor vetoed the funds for rebuilding the bridge.
Let me just tell you. I was walking around the parks in Minneapolis a few weeks ago, and I sat on a park bench, and it was a sturdiest park bench, and I looked down, and I saw a sign on it. It said PWA, 1930-something written on it. And so, man, you know what I'm saying? Some people who were looking for work got involved with a program that built that bridge so that, you know, 80 years later I can go sit on it.
Yep.
So let's do this. I mean, let's do this thing. But today it's not. Let's do some broadband. Let's get rural America connected. Let's do what we got to do.
Yeah. The thing I love most about that story is there's probably Minnesotans going, hey, is that Congressman Ellison sitting on a park bench? Get to work! What are you doing hanging out in the park in the middle of the day?
No rest for the wicked, right?
No.
You know, it's true.
Yeah. So, Congressman, got to get your take on the right wing, of course, screaming over these terror trials being held in New York. The president said, I don't think people will find it offensive at all when he's convicted and the death penalty is applied to him. Eric Holder said, I have every confidence the nation and the world will see him for the coward that he is. I'm not scared of what he'll have to say at trial, and no one else needs to be either.
Well, I agree more with Eric Holder on that one because, look, what are these right-wingers saying? That they don't believe in Article III courts?
Mm-hmm.
That they don't believe that American justice can mete out justice to these individuals? Are they saying our courts are inferior to the task? I mean, it's sort of ironic that these people don't have enough confidence and faith in the American justice system to try these people in a public way. The world needs to see and hear what they did and what they're about. And that will bring forth, you know what it'll actually do? The people who will be put on trial want to make the world believe that they have some just cause that sort of propels them to do these acts of terrorism that they've committed. Well, if we put them on trial and they get to tell they will be exposed for the murderers that they are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if we do this thing in some cloak and dagger way and some obscure process, then they get to say, oh, this guy's a martyr.
Yep.
No, let's expose him for what he is, put him on trial.
Well, exactly. Someone made that point, Congressman, that it makes them the holy warriors that they want to be.
Right.
We're making them, if you do it like you say in a war tribunal.
Strip them of the very thin veneer of a good cause that they're trying to shroud themselves in. I mean, just rip it off of them.
This is not an army, Congressman. These are not a war. To me, in the strictest legal sense, they're not war criminals. They're terrorists. They're criminals. They're not part of an organized army of a nation.
Right. When you confer upon them that there's some sort of legitimate combatants representing a state, then you're giving them more credit than they deserve. They are killers. And here's the other thing. Half of them are just gangsters and criminals anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the Taliban, I mean, these guys are selling dope, man.
Yeah.
Just like some, they're crack dealers. They're heroin dealers.
Well, and that's the thing. It's, you hear these people screaming, it's like, well, that's what the Taliban does. Yeah, we can make it fast. You get a trial and a beheading in a few hours.
Right.
The Taliban, we're America.
Well, Stephanie, let me just say, you can't be better than somebody if you don't act better than somebody.
That's right. That's
if America is a great country, and it is because of what we do, not what we claim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so let's put it down right. Let him have his say.
Yep.
The fact is that, I believe in Article 3 of the United States Constitution, and I believe that Article 3 judges and Article 3 courts can handle this.
Yep. Congressman Ellison, before you go, the most important issue, have you read the Sarah Palin book?
I have not been pleasured with that. But I will say this. She abandons the good people of Alaska for the money.
Yes.
No other reason than brazen greed.
Right.
Cashes in big time, and then the premise of her book is that she's a victim of some sort.
Yeah. Oh, have you heard the latest? She is says Newsweek is sexist for putting a picture of her on the cover that she posed for.
Oh yeah. Oh,
runner's magazine.
How dare you be sexist against me? I'm like, what? The most transparent, fraudulent, scummy thing. I mean, I'm sorry to be so graphic about it, but I mean, please. I mean, she poses for a photo, then she claims that it's a sexist photo. Look, man, this lady's trying to sell books, and I would never, ever put 10 cents on it, but I'm sure that just out of sheer curiosity, I might just thump to it one
Well,
day.
No, this is, I was on Larry King a couple nights ago, and this is what they were whining about, that, the media's sexualizing Sarah Palin. I'm like, she sexualized herself. Since when have you seen someone wink 25
right.
times at the camera in a vice presidential debate,
We haven't seen that before, now have we? And the thing is, Sarah Palin, is a populist.
Mm-hmm.
She does represent, you know, the ugly side of that of populism. And it's important for people just to tell the truth about what she really does represent, which is a nasty, mean, greedy, selfish sort of political movement.
That's why we. That's why we love having you on, because you talk trash with us, Congressman.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, I'm sure that somebody somewhere is mad about what I just said, but the point is, is that she's offering nothing to the people who she claims to be appealing
that's
to.
That's what I just said yesterday, Congressman. It's just she offers nothing but this partisan vitriol. You know, what does she offer to the, you know, the dialogue today?
What good idea has she ever promoted? And the thing is that the thing that really rubs me so wrong is that hardworking Americans, some of whom are out of work, are looking for answers and they're scared. And they're being told that, you know, your main problem is those immigrants and those people over there and somebody who's gay and somebody who had an abortion and the environmental. Those are the people who are your problem, not the people who ruined the economy over the last 8 years before Obama was ever sworn in.
Yep, absolutely.
And so, you know, the thing is that we've got to find a way to reach out to the American working class that she's appealing to. I mean, I had people at that Tea Party thing come to my office saying that, you know, I don't want no government-run health care program. Stay out of my Medicare.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, hon, I hate to tell you this, but you already have a government-run program. So people are – they don't have the right information. Their emotions are being manipulated, and the chief manipulator is Sarah Palin.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you know, Congressman, as you often remind us and our listeners, you've got the power. I mean, we've got the power.
Yeah. You got the power.
We've got the power.
Let's take the power.
We've got the power. Congressman Keith Ellison, you rock.
You hate that
stuff.
See you later.
All right, see, there he goes. Representative Keith Ellison. He's got the power.
He does.
Grab it.
Just like Snap.
4 to 5. Two snaps up in a circle. 45.
You ruined
it. Wow, that was a current reference. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with the latest on Sarah Palin's whining as we... as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's the distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49 minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 27 points. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to John in Charlottesville on the terror trials. Hi, John.
Hello, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Actually, it's Josh.
Okay, then. Just pardon me.
That's okay. My point is that there is no nation called Al-Qaeda.
Exactly.
There is no nation called terrorist. These guys committed a crime against civilians in civilian territory. They should be tried in the civilian district they committed the crime in.
Thank you. You know, it's what Congressman Ellison just said, right, Josh, that you are giving these guys more credit by, you know, you are making them holy warriors by trying them in a war crimes trial.
Yeah, it's like we suddenly think these guys are the Green Goblin and Dr. Doom or something.
Yeah.
You know, that they have special powers that if we put them in open court, you know, they're going to pull something. And I think it's ridiculous.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, it's like there's some Three Stooges sort of shenanigans will go on. Someone will throw flour and hit someone with an anvil, and then they'll escape. Okay.
Exploding birdseed?
Exactly.
The entire Acme warehouse.
That's not Stooges. That's different. That's Roadrunner.
I hated the Stooges.
Yeah, they'll put a hole on the side of the mountain and escape.
That's a portable hole.
Yes.
Yes.
Patrick in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
So I own a small business. I've been in business for 20 years. I rent generators. I compete with the big guys every day. I can do that. But the problem is insurance. My business insurance on my equipment is almost $20,000 a year. When there's a hurricane in Louisiana, my insurance rates go up 33%.
Mm-hmm.
No reason at all. No accidents, no claims the whole time. My health insurance through my union, I'm a studio mechanic, costs me $13,000 a year, and that's for second level without dental or any decent eye exam.
Yep.
So it's not. Plus, I could have had a government contract to sell generators to a branch of one of the armed forces, and the bank wanted me to put my house on the line after all these years with a government PO, and I said, no, I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
You know,
I hear you.
That's the problem, It's insurance and trying to get credit. When you've got perfect credit like we do, we owe nobody anything.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I don't know. These people, they call up. I wonder what kind of, you know, if they're selling hot dogs on the corner or something that don't have any real expenses to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It really makes you wonder.
Yep.
Now,
thank
another
you.
Thing is,
oh, all right then.
If I got a minute,
yes.
If I got a second.
Sure, go ahead.
The big problem I run it is a small shop. Is that when the big guys and I bid on jobs, they beat me by over 60% because they can give their equipment away. And the producers in the entertainment business, they'll play one against the other. There's
mm-hmm.
this real unfair competition going on. One guy from a new company with bottomless pits called this one golf tournament and said, I got to know what price to beat. How do you expect me to get business?
Yeah.
How do you...
I hear
that's
you.
Corrupt.
Yep, I hear you. I hear you. No, I got you. Listen, you know this. I tell you every day. It's having to give health insurance to human irritants like you that's dragging me down. Okay, let's go.
That's a good thing I'm not sick.
Yeah. Jim in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jim.
Thank you. I just wanted to say the Pentagon, which was attacked as well, everybody forgets about that, was clearly a military target. I understand civilians were killed. However you look at it, it's tragic. However...
Right. I think what we're saying is they are not an army from a country. That's the difference. I understand what you're saying. You know, but
we could still try them in a military tribunal.
But why? Why are we suddenly afraid of terrorists? Why are we afraid that our justice system cannot stand up to this?
Because of the fact that I think...
We've convicted how many terrorists so far? The 93 bombers in the World Trade Center, we've convicted Zacharias Moussaoui. We've convicted, I don't know, I don't even know what it is. What is it, Chris? A couple hundred?
I don't feel that they're entitled to the same constitutional liberties under the Bill of Rights that individuals are in regular court.
Well, they're going to be entitled to the same constitutional liberty to get the death penalty.
Right.
As anyone else. How is
they
that?
Wouldn't be able to get it otherwise.
Yeah. Otherwise, when we attacked this militarily, Jim, under the Bush administration, what happened? They got away at Tora Bora. You know what I mean? When we went after this, mm-hmm. the war on terror, you smoke mad, dead or alive. Well, guess what? Alive is how it turned out.
That's right.
Alive is how that turned out for Sheriff W.
Yeah, doing it you know, under a law enforcement situation,
thank
that
you.
Seems to get more people
yeah.
in jail and,
hmm.
you know,
hmm. jail.
Killed.
Hmm. Jail, free, jail.
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. I think I prefer law enforcement.
Aaron in Atlanta, yeah, or hope that their kidney disease kills them eventually. Aaron in Atlanta.
Hi, guys. I was curious if you guys could shed some light on this Stupak Amendment thing. So he's on, he appeared on Chris Matthews last
mm-hmm.
night.
Mm-hmm.
And he, first off,
let yeah, me I love that. How he makes it sound, Aaron, like this is nothing different. It absolutely is different and unprecedented.
Looked like such the pitiful little puppy dog standing up there saying, oh, we're just trying to, you know, keep with current precedent saying that no federal dollars to pay for abortions. He never even addressed the issue that private funds can't be used if you wanted to, you know, purchase your own policy.
Mm-hmm.
He never addressed this.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. It's like, oh, we're just trying. No, the Hyde Amendment covers precedent. That's you're exactly right. You're going, what? No, that's why there's such an outrage about this. And I love, Aaron, how they felt like women are just going to lie down for this. Like, oh, well, okay, you know.
Right, and I almost fell off of the sofa because I just assumed that this guy was a Republican.
No, he's a Democrat.
Yeah.
He's a pro-life Democrat.
I literally fell off of the sofa when I saw that D appear next to his name. I said, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot. How dare you stand in the way of this, and you're a Democrat.
Well, you know, and the thing is, Aaron, and I've said this before, you know, and there's one senator in particular I have, you know, very devoted progressive who is, you know, very pro-life. And, you know, we can respect different opinions. To me, that's not what this is about. This is a legal medical procedure in the United States that, you know, you are telling private insurance companies they can't cover. You know, and someone can't even buy the insurance. That's just, that is absolutely unprecedented. It's going to, like we've said, disproportionately affect poor women.
Right. And I was just so disappointed in Chris, because usually he presses harder and he just kind of. Chris Matthews.
Yeah.
And I was just so disappointed that he just kind of let him stand there and just spew these kind of, you know, these statements that just infuriated
me. Yeah, at least have the basic information, Aaron, right, that this goes way beyond the Hyde Amendment, and that's why there's such an outcry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, I remember, I think it was something that he, I think Chris mentioned Senator Boxer and Feinstein or whatever, and he's like, oh, well, there's always going to be extremists on both sides.
Extremists?
Like, what? Well, you mean chicks. You mean people that might think like a woman should have the right to choose what procedure she pays her own private medical and, you know, insurance company for.
I got news for him. Feinstein is not an extremist.
I know, exactly.
Good
I know.
Lord.
I can't remember the word he used. Okay. Something about, oh, there's people on both sides fringes or something. It's like, what, huh?
She is, Feinstein is not fringe by any stretch of the imagination.
57 minutes after the hour, Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America joins us for a rollicking edition of Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Check me out. I have David Plouffe coming up on the Celebrity Hotline. Campaign manager for... Oh, Barack Obama. That's who it was. I couldn't remember.
You pronounced it right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Hal Sparks for Hump Days with Hal next hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere to join the party. The Dow is down 58 points. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Saturn. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on the Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer today.
Hum-na.
All right, more of Sarah Palin's whining. She says the Newsweek cover is sexist because that's a picture she posed for Runner's Magazine, but Newsweek is sexist for using it. As I think I mentioned on CNN, she sexualizes herself, in my opinion, but, you know.
Tell me if you feel this. Oh, you're good.
This calls for a sexy party.
Some are even talking about her sex appeal.
A sexy bitch.
Sarah Palin sexualized herself.
She's got people really excited. She does sort of take command. And she is very, very comfortable interacting, whether it's on a one-on-one basis or with a large crowd.
Guys and gals.
It would be...
That's you crazy. Guys sexualized
that's,
Sarah Palin.
That's
she
crazy.
She sexualized
She's
herself.
A woman.
What's with the winking?
She's
what vice presidential candidate
woman?
Has ever winked?
When Palin dropped her first wink, sat up a little straighter on the couch and said,
"Oh,
hey, and she just winked at me."
Oh my God!
Next thing you know, be sharing a cigarette in post-coital bliss.
Thank you, Shano. My co-pilot, Carl Frisch, from the Center for Media Matters for...
What?
Oh, pardon me, Media Matters for America. Pardon me, Carl.
It's all good.
You know, I hate it when I yell out the wrong progressive organization when I'm with you.
Well, you know, I can't believe you're having David Plouffe on. What the hell did he ever do?
Where is his body of work?
Yeah.
He's no Carl Frisch.
That's right.
All right. My co-pilot for Right Wing World today. Yeah, can you believe this wine fest that is the Sarah Palin book tour so far?
Well, you know, my favorite part of the whole book, and we got a copy last week.
Yes.
And I've been trying to read it. It's been tough. But
yes.
She says very early in the book, I hate it when people complain.
Yeah.
And then she spends the rest of the book complaining.
Yeah, yeah.
So I always thought that was, you know,
it's just
Sarah.
I mean, it's so petty. I mean, the whole thing, it just, it's so petty. I mean, it's what she has become. She's just petty and partisan, and it really, ugh.
Yeah, and, you know, the title itself just speaks to the overall issue. Going rogue is not, I've figured out from reading this book as we've been poring over it and fact-checking it, is not a reference to how she lives her life or ran the campaign. It's a reference to her use of the facts.
She
goes rogue with the facts. She just lies outright in the book.
She lied to Oprah, and you can ask James Frey, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, she didn't lie to Oprah.
Well, and, you know, the whole time I'm thinking, when is it going to happen? And you get a playgirl, and you get a playgirl, and you get a playgirl.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? You know, we watch so you don't have to, Carl and I. Bill Bennett, Gambling Bill, on the Situation Room on the president.
Seems to me Barack Obama is about as far to the left as you can be in American politics and still be mainstream, and I'm not even sure he's still mainstream.
If only, huh, Carl?
Lucky Chewbacca, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, Jabba the Right over there.
I swear, when I listen to Bill Bennett, sometimes I think, where'd he go? You know, this is a guy that used to be nice and sunny, had the Book of Virtues, and somewhere he must have, you know, right about the time that he got caught blowing all kinds of money gambling, he lost his senses, too. To claim that Barack Obama is about as far to the left as you can go is just... you know, if you talk to any progressives,
yeah.
Utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I was saying. Yeah, if only he was as far left as they say. O'Reilly talking about Sarah Palin.
The left is now peddling Sarah Palin as a shallow demagogue.
Check.
Who would lead us to tragic circumstances.
Check.
And fear is driving that point of view.
Mm.
What, is he saying the left fears Sarah Palin?
Yes, that's what I'm told, Carlos,
well,
that I fear her and I envy her as a woman.
All you have to do is watch progressive pundits on TV. They'll tell you, please, Sarah, run.
Yes, I know. Please. Larry King asked me that 2 nights ago. I'm like, oh, yes, I want her to run, Larry. Yes,
no,
of course I do.
Stephanie, do you think she should run? Do you like my suspenders? Yeah, I think there are probably more progressives out there that want her to run than Republicans.
Yeah, oh,
yeah,
I know.
You're right.
Yeah, James Carville seemed nearly giddy about it on Larry King with me the other night. He's, because, you know, exactly. You're going, I mean, seriously, haven't they had enough? I mean, this had to be the most disastrous run ever.
Well, you know, it can't turn out half as bad as it turned out for Hoffman up in New York. So,
yeah.
You know, and we found out in exit polls that she's not even popular in that district, which is extremely conservative.
Right. Her race implodes. She implodes the race in New York, Carl. 70% of the American people say she's not qualified to be president. We're like, oh, please, bring this on. Yes.
But I have heard rumors of a dream ticket between, Lou Dobbs and Sarah Palin, and their slogan is going to be, don't stop quitting until tomorrow.
yeah, he also quit his job, his rather prominent job, to go problem solve or
what? Right, he needs an enhanced profile. Because CNN just wasn't news.
By the way,
show.
You wrote a great piece on Dobbs being dropped this week on Media Matters. What is the whole behind-the-scenes scuttlebutt? It was all over this birther thing, right? That was the beginning of the end.
It was the beginning of the end. I mean, he's been under pressure for quite some time, but he kind of lost it when he started talking about the birther baloney and forced John Klein, the president of CNN, into a very tough spot of defending somebody that he had criticized behind closed doors when those emails came out. So you find out if you read the New York Post and the New York Times and put two and two together, it looks like about that time Lou Dobbs was basically told, look, you can keep your opinions on the radio and host a straight news show like you used to back in the day, or you can leave, which apparently sent Dobbs into a hissy fit that lasted months. And his agent went to CNN and said, look, why don't you let him out of his contract? And he walked away from about $9 million.
Wow. In this economy. Good thinking. That's the judgment we need in a president.
Do you know how much xenophobia you can buy with $9 million?
You know, I think here's another, I was going to mention to you, I think is another sign, though, that he really is thinking about a presidential run, is he threw Sarah Palin under the bus on the Today Show. Did you see that? Matt Lauer was asking, he said, is she someone, if the election were held today, Lou, would you consider voting for her? He said, would I consider voting for her? Frankly, based on what I've seen personally, no. She's left a lot, let me put it this way, to be desired as a person who's seeking votes.
Well, that's no worse than what McCain thought of her. So I think they could totally make a good ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, by the way, so did you see Dobbs on O'Reilly? He indicated his downfall at CNN curiously started when Barack Obama became president. Clearly, Carl, Lou Dobbs was part of that Muslim-Kenyan plot that he started hatching in kindergarten.
I may have been dreaming, but I think this all has to do with the TV show V. And Lou Dobbs found out that secretly Obama is a reptilian alien.
Yeah.
And he must have allies at CNN.
Yes.
They didn't cut behind the ear to find out there were lizard people and, resident aliens.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is what it's all about.
All right. Monica Crowley whining on behalf of Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin has been subjected to the most brutal and vicious attacks I have ever seen leveled against politicians.
When?
And look, I worked for Richard Nixon. I was a supporter of George W. Bush. I know that this is hardball, but what this woman has been subjected to is unconscionable. And there's another reason for it. Not only does she represent this huge threat to the very heart of liberalism,
yes,
but you mentioned the populist wave that is a huge backlash against all of the Obama policies. It's already here, Bill. And what they fear is that she, because she's a populist, plain-spoken, honest, from the heartland,
stupid,
that she will be able to maximize that wave and capitalize on it.
Well, we talk
and therefore,
about that.
She must
I
want to
give it.
I'm sorry, Carl, did you... Oh, you dozed off.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You know, here are the two things we need to know about the sexist stuff in Palin. There have been sexist attacks on her that no woman in politics should have to go through, i.e., a woman with children can't serve an elected office because how are the kids going to get raised?
Yes.
Saying that, there's also been talk about her, you know, whether or not Joe Biden was going to have to go soft on her because she was a woman in a political debate. That's sexist. But she is no different than any other politician when it comes to criticism about her look.
Hillary Clinton
went through it. Even Barack Obama, who's forgotten about the John Edwards $400 haircut controversy?
Yeah.
So all of them go through this. I will say that the most disparaging, overly sexualized commentary directed at Palin comes from right-wing radio hosts.
Oh, thank you. And by the way, that was at the Republican convention that they were pushing that with all those signs about how hot she is.
Baker, a radio host, said, you know, Palin should have had a little more cleavage going on during the vice presidential debate, you know, to distract Joe Biden a little bit. Show your stuff. You know what I'm saying? Use all your assets.
All right. Charles Krauthammer on the terror trials.
What Obama has done, Mr. Hope and Change, is to offer Al-Qaeda Act Two. The memory of 9/11 is fading, and now what's going to happen is they're going to get the biggest propaganda stage. The attack on 9/11 was a silent movie. Now KSM is going to have a director's cut in which he does the narration. He's going to explain why and how, and it will be the greatest spectacle in terror history. It is absolutely inconceivable why this administration would have allowed all this to happen.
Oh, you see 9/11, a silent movie, like a Charlie Chaplin, Charles, and then this will be like a Bruckheimer kind of.
Only he could use an analogy about silent movies and talkies. This is just further proof that there's nothing the administration does that conservatives will not go bananas over. The idea that finally getting some justice for what this guy did to this country is a bad idea, and that New Yorkers would not relish the idea that they get to serve him justice is beyond me. It's not surprising that Rudy Giuliani is leading this one, even though he stood on a different side of this issue years ago, saying that these people should be prosecuted. It's a sad day.
Carl Frisch, can you stay in the sidecar when we come back? Speaking of right-wing radio hosts with a John Boner for Sarah Palin, Sean Hannity will talk about his.
Already.
Next in right-wing world as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The mere fact that I'm a breathy voice, full sensual lips, and a steaming hot body doesn't make me a bimbo.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour on the Stephanie Miller Show, Carl Frisch in his jaunty scarf and little leather helmet and goggles in the sidecar for Right Wing World. Good morning, Carl.
Bugs are tasty.
Dana Perino on the Hannity Show, again whining on behalf of Caribou Barbie.
I think it's worse than sexist. I think it is demeaning and degrading, and Newsweek knew exactly what it was doing. They made sexuality a part of her performance. And this is something that if it had happened to someone on the left, the feminist organizations would be screaming about.
Oh, please. I mean, Carl, am I missing something here? This is not Photoshop. This is a photo that she posed for Runner's Magazine. She's out there trying to get publicity for a book, and she's whining that Newsweek put her on the cover.
I think that the photo is a distraction from the content of the story, and that's the big mistake that Newsweek made. The other issue is not so much the cover, which I think there are valid claims to say it's problematic, but on the inside, two of the photos that they use are a photo of her legs through which you can see these young McCain-Palin supporters gawking at her, and then a photo of a doll that is dressed like a slutty schoolgirl with Palin's head on top of it. I think when you add those pieces together, it becomes problematic. And again, the biggest issue is that it distracts from their criticism of this book and of her, and that's the problem.
Yeah, but you know, my point. my point is, girl, she used everything she's got in this run. You know, are you kidding me? She used her sex appeal. She used her family as props, you know, and then whines about it when people talk about her family or talk about how hot she is.
Yeah, I think you can. I think there is a good point to be made in terms of the whole family issue, you know, especially when you consider how the whole news of the pregnancy thing came out, them claiming that it was liberals that were pushing this around when, in fact, it was conservative bloggers in Alaska.
Yep.
But in terms of the, you know, how she's dressed kind of thing, I think that's a problem in the media in general. If you look at how Hillary Clinton has been described over the years, if you look at the focus on John Edwards' haircut and all these other things, of course these people are doing their best to present their best foot forward.
Yes, we're a shallow society.
Again, the worst of the comments about Sarah Palin's appearance comes from right-wing droolers.
Thank you. With Starburst in their
eyes. It's not so much the overall sexism, but it's about Sarah Palin's lack of fight against sexism in general and only when it suits her purposes.
Yep.
It's why she called Hillary Clinton a whiner before she was chosen for vice president when Hillary was going through those issues during the primary.
Yeah. We're a shallow society, Carl. We like to watch semi-celebrities eat bugs on television.
I think people would have a lot more compassion for the difficulties that Palin faces if she wasn't a hypocrite on the issue.
Thank you. All right, Carl, please join us for day 4, 5 of Bowgate with Carl Rove and Sean Hannity.
You know, they ought to be at least consistent. They did not bow to the, you know, Queen of England, and we got a special relationship with her and with her country, and yet they bow to the Emperor of Japan. I just don't get it.
But again, I'd argue that they're bowing at the altar of socialism, but that's a separate issue for another day.
I guess that's what Nixon and Eisenhower were bowing. They were bowing at the altar of socialism, too.
Well, yeah, they were. They weren't conservative enough. you know, at the end of the day, I think it's a good sign that Obama's making progress on the world stage, and perhaps, you know, George W. only, you know, holding arm in arm, hand in hand, kissing of the cheek of the Saudi royals, perhaps only showing that respect and not showing any respect around the rest of the world, save maybe a back rub for Andrea Merkel. Perhaps that's one of the reasons that the opinion of this country suffered so greatly under his administration, and Obama's respect for these other cultures, perhaps that's one of the reasons that we're improving.
Yeah, well, George Bush, it was probably his deep abiding respect for women, the unnecessary back rub, and the you know, Saudi Arabia's record on women's rights. That's,
you know,
probably what he was.
You can learn a lot by handshake, even in cultures that don't handshake. What's that about?
Sean Hannity on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's trial.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and we're going to bestow upon him and these other terrorists and enemy combatants, we're going to have these trials in civilian courts. It's going to be a circus. We're going to reveal, I believe, intelligence secrets. I think that'll do great harm to our intelligence community. The families are going to have to relive that agony again. I think it's going to hamstring our fight against terrorism. Do you see, and ultimately, because we didn't Mirandize Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and we used enhanced interrogations, some of this might be thrown out of court. He may walk away.
And we'll have evidence for the Hague against the Bush administration.
Yeah, here's the deal. We have, and they keep on describing this thing as unprecedented. There are hundreds of people in federal prisons that have been tried in this manner. So, you know, Sean Hannity, once again, he gets the gold star for spinning his way to crazy.
Yes. There you go. Carl Frisch, Media Matters for America. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. David Plouffe, campaign manager for Barack Obama.
That him.
Slipping my mind. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Her shapely gams have finally persuaded me to switch from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Chris, who said of Obama campaign manager David Plouffe, if you look at the mechanics of our campaign, how we raised money, how we turned out votes, how we managed the caucus process, all these pieces were incredibly complex. We had to build it from scratch. I'm not sure there's anybody who else who could have done it. There's nobody I trust more. Who said that?
N.B. Davis.
That's an incredibly bad guess. President Barack Obama said
that.
Holy cow, the biggest name ever on the Celebrity Hotline, David Plouffe. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Stephanie.
It's so nice to hear from you. I've gotten so many emails from you.
Well, thanks for not putting me in your spam folder.
I'm sure I, like many people, thought it was just me you were emailing, because I was an early Obama mama, you know.
I do know that.
Why, thank you. The new book is The Audacity to Win, the Inside Story and Lessons of Barack Obama's Historic Victory. I don't know what to say, except every time, you know, there was a twist or turn of the campaign, I'm like, man, David Plouffe, that guy knows what he's doing. I mean, how did you, I don't even know, you know, people say like Howard Dean started a little bit of the internet stuff, but how did you come up with this whole plan that involved all of this?
Well, it started really with a dictate from our candidate who said he wanted to run a grassroots campaign, and we were going to build a campaign that relied and believed in volunteers, and more, obviously, people are living their lives through technology and the digital space. So, you know, we wanted to build a campaign that allowed people to help us, you know, in the way they live the rest of their lives. If they wanted to, you know, forward videos or organize on a social networking site or, you know, distribute our message through emails, then we allow them to do that. And it was a remarkable campaign. And I hope what the book captures is obviously, you know, Barack Obama's a remarkable performance as our candidate, but also these millions of Americans who gave time that was hard to give, money they couldn't afford to give. It was a remarkable thing to be a part of.
Well, I mean, it really, you know, people overuse the word unprecedented, but it clearly this was. I mean, it was a perfect storm of, may I say, your genius, but you're right, a candidate that clearly the country was ready for. You're right. I mean, so many people that never get involved got involved, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 50% of the people that gave us time or money, which is a remarkable statistic, had never done so before in politics. And that mattered because, you know, for those of us that are engaged in politics, you know, our friends, our family members, they're used to us kind of prattling on about, you know, they know what we're going to say because we have a point of view. But when someone's never lifted their voice about politics before does so, people want to lean in a little bit closely.
David Plouffe, I was one of those people, like many, that when I watched his speech at the convention, the previous Democratic convention, I got chills, and I said, this is our first black president. And it was interesting, wasn't it? Almost every story in the media was wrong. I remember, you know, I literally was on the bandwagon from day one for President Obama, and people, I mean, every story that was the common wisdom, there's no way he can beat Hillary, there's no way, blah, blah, there's no way he can win white vote, there's no, right? I mean, every story just imploded, didn't it?
Well, and again, I don't want to, you know, pile on to me, but yeah, that's an important part of the campaign for this reason, that's what we had to fight through. So basically, the media coverage was, you know, at points of the campaign, very challenging, and they didn't see what was going to unfold, and yet we had the discipline to stick with it, and I think there's a lot of lessons about where we are today, which is, you know, he's focused on the long term, not on kind of the back and forth of the moment, you know, the polls of the moment, and, you know, to really, you know, do health care, which we try to do for 100 years, to do the right things on energy, to do the right things to help the economy in the short term, to do the right things overseas. These things are going to take time, but you have to know where you're going. One of the strengths of our campaign is, and we weren't arrogant about this, we didn't know our strategy was going to work. We had a strategy, we committed to it, and we let it play out. And I think that's what he's doing as president, and I think I have just a great deal of confidence. We're going to look back at this period and say, you know what, we both did the things short term that were really hard we had to do, but also long term to strengthen the country.
David Plouffe, and I don't want any special favors from you. I'm just saying I took a lot of incoming fire, not just from the Hillary camp. But you know, it's interesting, isn't it? It's just the whole, like, this can't be done thing. I mean, I got calls from a lot of my black listeners early on saying, oh, you silly, naive, white, liberal woman, this is never going to happen. And I, from day one, you know, I think, like you say, this was just an unprecedented moment in our history, and he's an unprecedented candidate.
Well, and I think that was a tough thing to fight through for you, for all of our supporters, because they were being told every day that it wasn't going to happen. And I think that, you know, he had a message that he stuck to. We had a strategy we stuck to. Our volunteers out there, you know, helped us win Iowa, South Carolina, all the meaningful wins in the primary. And, you know, I think that, you know, his discipline and our discipline and the remarkable work of our volunteers, I mean, but I think that I spent a lot of time in the book setting up exactly what you said, because you can't tell the story of this campaign without going back to the beginning, which is even we thought this was highly unlikely.
Yeah.
You know, we thought we had a pathway, but we were very, very sober about how hard it was going to be.
Well, and may I just say, you know, I think the, you know, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, one of the best decisions, and I'm really thrilled to see how all this has played out, you know, because I think that that was a really strong choice on his point and, you know, proved a lot of the stuff wrong that was said during the campaign.
No doubt, and it's a very unconventional choice, not just because they were heated rivals, but also I think, you know, if people thought she'd play a role in the cabinet, it probably wouldn't be that one. But I think he saw that, listen, she's going to have an enormous footprint around the world when she travels. She's going to be a great person to go out there and both promote our values, but also to conduct business, and she's doing a great job.
Now, because I know there was a lot of talk about, you know, her being in the VP slot. One of the things, of course, that's just come out is that someone from the Edwards camp, according to your book, floated the notion of him endorsing Obama at some point for the VP slot. Gee, that vetting would have been an interesting process, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been. And, you know, that was something we just kind of dispatched out of hand. And I think that, you know, Barack Obama took that decision very seriously, which is at that point we hadn't won yet. But if he was going to win, that, you know, that was going to be one of the most important decisions he made. And so you had to do it earnestly and methodically. Now, you compare that to the McCain selection of Palin, and, you know, my good friend Sarah Palin's back in the news these days.
Yes, I've noticed.
And I think it reminds everybody, you know, the difference, which is we were methodical, we were focused on picking someone that could really help as a trusted counselor in the White House. You know, McCain is a campaign kind of in a stunt, you know, as they said, they needed to throw long. You don't throw long on something like that.
Well,
she's proving again why, you know, she was such an albatross in the campaign.
I'm telling you, David, as a woman, that was one of the things I was most offended by, that they just assumed, oh, you know, she's just like Hillary. You know, I'm going, that, what an insult to Hillary Clinton to say that this woman, you know, could even hold a candle to her. And secondly, she's against everything Hillary Clinton's fought her whole life for.
That's right. It was a huge mistake to do that on the first day. I think that, you know, at that point, almost most of the Hillary supporters were voting for us. But what we saw was a huge influx of Hillary volunteers who said, you know what, I was going to volunteer in October, but I'm here now. I can't take it. This is offensive. And it was a big mistake on their part.
Yep, absolutely. What do you think of Sarah Palin's latest charges of sexism, you know, against her with the Newsweek cover or whatever? It just, this whole book is just score settling, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, obviously, they probably could have chosen a different photo. But I think just generally, she's fashioning herself as kind of this American icon and kind of the example of American spirit. You know, what does not compute with that is sort of whining and score settling. And that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
And I think that she's doing nothing, in my view, to repair the image that, you know, she would be challenged. Now, I hope she runs. I hope she's on a book tour for 2 years.
I was just going to say,
for the Democratic Party,
as Barack Obama's campaign manager, Palin 2012, how much glee does that give you?
Well, there's a lot of time between now and then, and I have no idea what she's going to do. She clearly, whether she runs or not, she's going to have an important say in who their nominee is.
Yeah.
You know, she and Limbaugh and Beck, you know, kind of represent the force and energy of the party. So whoever runs, if she doesn't, is going to have to run that obstacle course. And, you know, that's the problem. I don't think right now she's going to sell a lot of books, and there's maybe a quarter of the Republican Party that's incredibly passionate about her. But for a party that long-term needs to repair their relationship with moderates and with younger voters and Latino voters, I don't think that this is the recipe to do it.
David, that's why we know we're a smarter party, because you don't let your radio host run the party. And I think that's wise. are you going to, let me ask you, first of all, are you going to be the campaign manager for 2012?
Oh, listen, you know, the last one just ended a year ago. So, you know, there'll be a time for that. I think all of us that were involved in are obviously going to do anything we can. What form that takes, you know, we'll know a little bit longer down the road.
If you had to guess, who do you think will be their candidate in 2012?
You know, the truth is, I think we should learn from Barack Obama's experience that it may be that someone none of us are focusing on right now. So I don't think it may be one of the people like, Pawlenty and Romney that that are already running around Iowa, New Hampshire, but it may be somebody new. I don't think we know. I think, you know, there seems to, in Washington in particular, there's a rush to try and predict what's going to happen years ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the world we live in, things can change very, very quickly.
David, before you go, is President Obama as cool as he seems?
Absolutely. I mean, he is. I mean,
he's cool.
During Reverend Wright, during the loss in New Hampshire, during the Palin pick, during the economic crisis, he showed real leadership skills that gave me increasing confidence that he could be a pretty special president. He is. For those of you that supported him, he's exactly the person you'd hoped he would be, behind closed doors.
Yes, odd that people didn't choose that hot-headed erraticness that John McCain offered. But what's he like in person? What's he like to hang out with on the campaign?
He's a very normal person. He's got a good sense of humor. We had a healthy bemusement about the process, which you need to kind of get through it. But he's there. But his calmness does not. He's very resolute. He doesn't abide poor performance or things being off track. You know, he'll want to course correct, but he does it in the right way. And one of the things I write about in the book, you know, I think when leaders themselves are self-aware and say, you know what, here's what I could do better before we get to the rest of you, you know, that is hugely inspiring. And I think lends to kind of a healthy situation in an organization, and that's what he provided.
David, I'm keeping you on way too long because I'm trying to trick you into staying on for the rest of the show. But
stop
before
it.
You go, you know, one of the things that we have heard a lot about is that we need to try to stay as involved, and I know you're involved in this. I still get emails from you, you know, in terms of all of this energy that got Barack Obama into office. We need that, don't we, whether it's health care reform or whatever, because we are faced, you know, even after this extraordinary bipartisan outreach by the president with just complete obstructionism. I think people even on the left are getting frustrated, right, with getting things done because it's proving a lot harder, and we need all our boots on the ground again, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And, you know, there's already been, you know, millions of Americans have already, you know, made calls, knocked on doors, you know, held press conferences on health care. We've got to keep doing that. If you don't want health care on energy, we've got to talk to our neighbors and colleagues as we did in the campaign. Because, listen, there's a reason health care hasn't got done for 100 years. There's a reason energy reform has lagged for 25 years, because there's special interests, the status quo, in this case, a lot of Republicans in Congress who block it. So, listen, even with all the attacks on health care, and they've been, you know, legion, you know, health care, support for health care reform has remained pretty stable. And I think that it's one of the reasons I have optimism that we're going to get this done. We're going to get this done largely as the Democratic Party in Congress, but that's just what we have to do. Well, you've been good to have me, Stephanie.
The book is Audacity to Win, the Inside Story and Lessons of Barack Obama's Historic Victory. David Plouffe, I will never spam block you. Thanks for taking time
Thank you.
Bye. All right, there he goes. David Plouffe, I think you've had another interview to get to.
I think he was late for the other interview, Stephanie.
I was trying to trick him. 45.
And you hate it when other shows do that to you with guests.
Teehee.
Oh,
I wonder
boy.
Who I'm holding up. 45 minutes. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I made David Plouffe late for his next interview, 50 minutes after the hour. We were just speculating on who we screwed up. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
I think I know.
Mm-hmm. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Hello, Ivan in Los Angeles on the terror trials. Hey, Ivan.
One thing that I think everyone's missing, Stephanie, in this terror trial is that these folks, the accused, are from honor and shame cultures, not from guilt and sin cultures. And as a result, they're being publicly tried and shamed is perhaps the worst thing that we could do to them.
Yeah, exactly. And as somebody said, Ivan, I pointed this out earlier, you give them a secret military tribunal, you make them into the holy warriors they hope to be. To
exactly.
The, yeah, exactly. Thank you. I'm the smartest girl in class. President Obama predicted Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will be convicted. Obama said, I think this notion that we have to be fearful that these terrorists possess some special powers that prevent us from presenting evidence against them, locking them up, and exacting swift justice, I think that's been a fundamental mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our listeners have said, what, did they have some sort of superpower, spidey sense, something? We give them, like Congressman Ellison said earlier, too much credit. Too much power to go, oh.
Yeah. That was another great interview that you had. It'll be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show.
Aren't I something today? Okay, I'm giving myself a gold star. Oh, yes. Here's what we do have to be careful of.
What?
Hot sauce and a comb.
Huh?
That's one Al-Qaeda suspect in New York needed to nearly kill one of his guards.
He hot sauce and a comb.
9 years ago, but he hot sauce and a comb.
Yeah,
so we need to get rid of all grooming products of any kind.
How can one kill someone with a...
He threw hot sauce and then stabbed him with a comb that he made into a something.
Oh, into a knife. You can do that.
Yeah.
I saw Shawshank Redemption. I know what goes on.
Exactly. Fortunately, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed looks like he has never used a comb, so... or maybe we did his hair like that. Okay. Dan and
have you seen the new picture of him, though?
Yes.
Holy
crap. He's like Chia Chic. He's so fuzzy now.
Yes, he is. Well, like he wasn't fuzzy before. I mean, all that back and shoulder hair. Oh, good God.
Dan in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Caribou Barbie. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I was remembering Operation Chaos. Yeah, Rush Limbaugh's little...
He was trying to disrupt the Democratic primary, yeah.
Well, wouldn't it be a great opportunity in 2012 to show them what it's all about? There's not really going to be much of a Democratic primary, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And if Palin wanted to throw her hat into the ring, and every Democrat in the country voted for her, I think it would make it pretty easy.
Dan, I could get behind that. Make sure that Sarah Palin's the nominee. He and then a he. Yeah. All right. I likey. Mama likey. All right, here is her whiny little screed about the sexist Newsweek cover.
Yeah.
They featured a picture of her that she posed for.
Yeah, in
but
short
not
shorts.
For that magazine, so you can see how that's, oh, golly, guys and gals, that's not fair. The choice of the photo for the cover of this week's Newsweek is unfortunate. When it comes to Sarah Palin, don't you hate people that talk about themselves in the third person?
Yeah.
This new quote-unquote news magazine has relished focusing on the irrelevant rather than the relevant. The Runner's World magazine one-page profile for which this photo was taken was all about health and fitness, a subject to which I am devoted, and blah, blah, blah. The out-of-context Newsweek approach is sexist and oh so expected by now. You betcha. If anyone can learn anything from it, it shows you why you shouldn't judge a book by its cover, gender, or color of skin. The media will do anything to draw attention, even if it's out of context. Oh, she said... If the media will do anything to draw attention. Mm-hmm. She's someone that will do anything to draw attention to sell her friggin' book.
And, she's someone who will pose in short shorts in order to sell a magazine.
Yeah. You know how she hates those attention grabbers.
Darn right.
Darn people like that. You betcha.
Darn right.
Okay. I mentioned that she lied to Oprah. Oh, no, she didn't.
Oh, no, she didn't.
She might want to get James Fry on the horn.
Oh, no.
Let's see. Senator, you remember when they pulled out of Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
The next day, Sarah Palin told Fox News' Carl Cameron that she disagreed with the decision. I fired a quick email and said, oh, come on, do we have to call it there? At one point, she even offered to pay for gas money from Wisconsin or something to go to. What a pathetic campaign. It is kind of funny, isn't it, just having David Plouffe on and how that was like a well-oiled machine, the Obama campaign.
Absolutely.
And McCain Palin. Holy cow.
What a loser fest.
I mean, seriously. Oh, just the vetting for her alone. Stop it already. but in an interview with Oprah, she claimed she only went rogue on the Michigan message because she didn't know that we pulled out of Michigan. Well, clearly, if Palin had told Cameron that she sent an email to the camp, to the McCain camp, she knew the decision had been made.
So she did lie to Oprah.
She lied to the Oprah. You don't do that.
Either she lied to Carl Cameron.
This isn't the first claim that Palin has made in her book during her promotional tour. It has been contradicted by campaign emails. Palin wrote from the beginning she liked the idea of appearing on Saturday Night Live, but an email that the Huffington Post found, Palin said she was not thrilled about going on the idea of going on the show because these folks are whack.
She didn't say that.
Yeah.
She said whack?
Yeah. McCain also disputing an allegation made by Palin that the campaign stuck her with a $50,000 legal bill to pay for the cost of vetting her as a potential VP candidate. McCain said the bill was over the Troopergate thing, which was her own ethics problem. Right. So, Palin's claim to Oprah that she didn't consult with her children before agreeing to the McCain also contradicts what she told Sean Hannity last year. Remember that? That, oh, did you do the group hockey hug and you did the meeting and, oh, that is so magical. Yeah, that all was
crap.
Crap. crap.
You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
All right. What's it like to be a liar? Oh. Huh? Do you like being a liar with pants constantly on fire?
Or no pants, if you're talking about the Newsweek photo. Barbara Walters and Caribou Barbie.
Barack Obama. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, where do you rate Barack Obama?
A four. I think there are a lot of decisions being made that I and probably the majority of Americans are not impressed with right now. I think our economy is not being put on the right track. And I question, too, some of the dithering and hesitation with some of our national security questions that have got to be answered for our country. So a four.
Dithering.
Yeah, if you want to hear, dithering to question, you should have heard her on with the drug-addled gas bag Limbaugh yesterday. Oh, dear God.
Oh, my God.
That must have been some total mutual masturbation.
Oh, back with more on Caribou Barbie and Hump Days with Hal. Comedian Hal Sparks joins us next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Saturn. The sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Bah! Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract limited. Take delivery by November 30th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer today. What's more fun than that? Oh, I know. Why, it must be Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Hi, Hal.
What's happening, yo? All right. Hey, I come on down. That's right. We're here. Get ready.
Stop what you're doing.
That's right. It's hump day. Come on. Don't hate on the nose. What's going on?
Good morning, Hal Sparks.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
I'm great. Oh, that's a song I haven't heard in 16 years.
It's awesome.
Oh, Julie has a question for Hal right out of the box here. Hello, Julie in Seattle.
Where'd she get the question from?
Hal, my dear.
Hiya.
When Stephanie leaves us for the East Coast, will we still be having hump days with Hal? Will it be dry hump days for Hal?
First of all, it always is. She's constantly rebuffing my... the rebuffing has gotten so extreme, she's moving to the East Coast to attempt to avoid any kind of
intimacy. Julie, I will be much braver when I'm 3,000 miles away.
It's true.
I will be shoving my breast into the Skype so he can...
It's true.
My imagination just runs wild with you, too.
Julie, here's the thing. Mama could be even sluttier because, as someone pointed out, I will have one hottie on the East Coast, John Field was saying, and Hal Sparks on the West Coast.
Right,
so
that's true.
I will be going by, as
great,
you know.
Okay, don't wear yourself out.
No, she'll end up doing the show from Chicago.
All right. A sailor in every port.
Right, exactly. And a ship in neither. All right.
Kathy writes, hey, Steph, what's with the move to New York? I know a lot of scuttlebutt over the Internet. There's lots of dark conspiracy theories going on.
My friend Glenn IM'd me this morning and says he's having abandonment issues.
No. Mama's not leaving anybody. Mama's going by, as you know.
Yeah.
I've been bi-curious for a while.
Yes.
Now the show is going bi-coastal.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, this just means you get to sleep in.
Exactly.
Because you'll be on the East Coast. You'll actually be able to live like a normal person.
Exactly.
And as much as I'll miss you, I agree with that choice.
I'll get to be in studio with my friend Ed Schultz now and again. Things of that nature.
Right.
All right. Main concern... is everybody is thinking of the fur children. By the way, what about the puppies? New York City is going to be some kind of major transition for them. My God, will somebody? Please.
Somebody please think of the children.
All right. Well, Kathy, Mama's living near the big park there, the Central Park, and also they're flying on Pet Airways.
Oh, very exciting.
Where they send you a flight confirmation that said, here is your flight confirmation for your passenger.
Passenger.
I love it. We're having a...
Stephanie. That's great.
We're having the founder of Pet Airways on, I believe,
next week
to talk about Max and Fred's big flight to New York. It's very exciting.
It's good.
Oh, Fred got an upgrade already. Fred was already upgraded.
Well,
I hope so.
You're giving them free press repeatedly.
He got a bigger crate.
Yeah. Oh, that's sweet. They fly in crates?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have to.
And free booze in the first class crates.
They have to. You can't, because otherwise you can't, I mean, you can't buckle them in. They don't know how to, they're, I mean, if anybody, yeah. pets don't understand the buckle,
that's true.
That's probably, you know.
Yeah. Do they get real silverware in first class?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Well, the knife is plastic, but the fork is metal.
Yeah.
That
All
makes
right.
sense.
Oh, that means Mama will be having Christmas in New York. Do I have some Christmas
wow.
music? Steph, you know what that means, Chris? I'm going to have to move the manger scene, or as my Jewish friend calls it, my little doll show.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you know, when you've moved a bunch of times out, you probably have, like,
sure.
you know, stuff gets broken. You have, like, a headless wise man. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
then
the
I guess.
The dented Jesus.
Yeah,
that's really embarrassing. What
you
got to
fill in with other things, like, you know, over the years, like Cabbage Patch dolls. And,
you get a toothbrush and you have to clean baby
yeah.
Jesus, and
yeah.
it's very
yeah.
awkward.
You just hope no one notices there's troll dolls and other stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if the dog has eaten the baby Jesus and has passed.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
That's not Jesus. That's a Paul Stanley action figure.
That happened to my neighbor. I told you that years ago.
What?
He ate the baby Jesus. It's a common thing. Dogs eat the baby Jesus.
Do they?
Yeah. And she was standing outside, you know, with a dog on a
leash.
Jesus. Yes. And someone asked, what are you doing? She said, I'm waiting for baby Jesus to come. Because the vet said, just wait till he, you know, passes it.
Wow. It must have been a very small baby Jesus.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, in my yoga class, we celebrate the holidays by doing the nutcracker pose. Oh, very fitting if you're a guy. My teacher was in Target, saw an enormous display of nutcrackers. Among them were Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus. Maybe that's just what you need for your manger this year. I will get some nutcrackers and bring them to
the Jesus
door.
Nutcracker?
Yes.
Wow.
All right. All right, Julie, Chris, with yet another, how many stories can there be about the vast influence of the Stephanie Miller Show? Julie from Seattle, fine American. Staff, my Saturday, my sick husband Jerry and I were sitting in an emergency room waiting for the doctor. The doctor arrived wearing big dangling peace symbol earrings. I said to Jerry, good sign. Look at the doctor's earring. She may be one of us, meaning a liberal. The doctor laughed. That's true. I have lots of peace signs. So.
Yeah, you do.
I'm kind of a, you know, I'm kind of an old hippie liberal like that.
Yummy. Right.
It's not the kind of piece I mean for you.
Oh, sorry. All right. Well,
I've got
way.
A different piece for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Well, all I'm saying is give peace a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You need to follow through on some of these
right.
threats, Stephanie.
Really...
I need to put out before I leave.
Yeah,
yeah
all
right. right. Yeah, this would be a countdown.
How am I going to keep him coming back?
Yeah, right.
I've been lying to Jim for years. He still believes it.
Right.
I just told him, yes, I'll do him before I leave.
Right.
Okay. The doctor laughed, turned to look at my husband, who was wearing an AM 1090 Seattle's Progressive Talk baseball cap. Woohoo! She perked right up and said, AM 1090, if you listen to that station, definitely. Turns out she's a particular fan of...
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, what a fine American. Jerry exclaims proudly, my wife is Stephanie's Beaver reporter. From then on, it was the total red carpet hospital treatment for us, which is great, but oddly disturbing somehow at the same time.
Yeah, sure.
So you see, who needs health care reform to get quality health care? Just not drop the Stephanie Miller International name in the ER. There's an alternative plan for you.
Absolutely.
Should you be gushing blood from a serious head injury.
Right, exactly. I know Stephanie Miller! Quick! Get more blood back into her head.
Stat!
Right.
Get her in the
yeah.
stat.
Someone get a cork.
All right.
The Stephanie Miller.
Someone sent cork. Me a, this is when drunk Stack meets my future husband,
sure.
Stack. Mama and the Mooks, I was shocked to tell you that alcohol was involved in this story in Seattle. A would-be Seattle ninja found impaled on a metal
oh,
fence.
Oh, yes, bad.
Don't you hate when that happens? When you think you're a ninja and you can get over the fence? No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Ooh.
An aspiring ninja learned the hard way he is not able to jump a 5-foot fence. Firefighters pulled the man from the metal spike.
Ow! Oh, that was...
He's alive. He's
the
alive.
The police
yes.
report said clearly
Call
he was
living?
Overconfident in his abilities, no doubt bolstered by alcohol.
Yeah, ninjas weren't known for their drinking.
No.
You know?
Yeah, where's our tequila ad? You know, it can do that to you. It can do many, many things to you, including overconfidence. Yes.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately. And with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Tequila! We do that as a public service every few months, just as a cautionary tale.
It's important. Well, now I know what that like kind of tan liquid that you're drinking, you know, all the time is. And by the way, I don't, for the record, I don't drink. You know that. I'm straight edge.
Really?
I don't drink, do drugs, or smoke. Wow. Anything. Never have.
Another dream dies.
No, it's all right. I have a great substitute for it.
What's that?
An overwhelming sense of self-confidence and arrogance. you don't
which
need,
you come by naturally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's just my brain produces some sort of a hormone that makes me think I'm the big S in the room. And that, it works. That's what alcohol is for most people. I just already have it.
So there's no reason.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
whatever.
Plus,
whatever works for you.
Well, it does. And the nice thing is my penis still works.
Oh, good.
So
that's
that is
the,
true.
You know, whereas that's, yeah,
well, that's
whereas
saying,
when you're drinking tequila,
no, not so much.
You can't count on it.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
It's you're pretty much rolling the dice on that one. I don't want to gamble in that area.
GTK.
It's not chance. It's skill at that point.
Jotting that down.
Right. Good.
Okay. How far can
you? Stared right at you when I said that.
Yes.
Nothing. All right.
Hal Sparks, you are a famous actor. You will be able to know Lady Gaga wants to pursue acting, don't know as a leading lady or man, but maybe a remake of The Crying Game, perhaps. I'm just saying there is...
I think
this gun is digging into my hip.
Oh, God. And she's debunked that rumor, Stephanie.
Oh, that she has both parts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that she wants to act.
That.
Yeah, well.
No, she still wants to act. Yeah.
You've had to do nude scenes.
I have.
Awkward.
Yes, it's true. And then to, you know, I've at least known the sex of the person that I'm doing the thing. You know, like, if it was Lady Gaga and you're like, you're waiting for this drum roll as she comes out of the dressing room.
What's my motivation?
No way! You know.
Now, Hal Sparks, as a world-famous celebrity, do you get a lot of free, because... Lindsay Lohan, yesterday we did a story that apparently she doesn't feel she needs to pay for anything when she goes
out. Champagne or...
Yeah. Right, no.
Now, do you do that? Do you just say, when they presented with a check, do you say, I'm Hal Sparks?
No. I have deadbeat actor friends who I pay for everywhere I go. So I am aware. It's like, you know, the funny thing is being even marginally famous, you will get fans and people who will come up to you and go, oh, it's on me. Dessert's on me. Here, there's the... They'll do that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's my argument that anybody who complains about being famous is an idiot.
Yes.
And that will happen on enough of an occasion where you feel nice and special.
Yeah.
And you feel like... But when you have an entourage, you have a group around you, you kind of are... You're the big dog. You're responsible for picking up the tab.
So Lindsay Lohan showed up to a launch of some, I don't know, watch line or something. She was already being paid to go. Then they offered her $500 to shop at the store. She bargained them up to $1,000, so then she went crazy and ran up a $15,000 bill. And when asked if that she was a skosh over her limit, she said, "He'll take care of it. I'm the only celebrity here."
Wow.
I think I'm going to try that in New York. I'm
right.
What? I'm
but
Stephanie
I,
Miller.
No one else here is famous, Your Honor. look at around this courtroom today, sir. And I question you, does he look famous? Have you ever seen him? Did he ever guest star on Lost? How about that lady with the hatchet murder? She never... I should be released from incarceration strictly on the fact that I was once on Rock of Love 2.
All right. Listen, I don't know how you two can be so festive this morning when Charo is broken.
Hi.
I don't know if you've seen she's on crutches with something has happened to her.
No.
Yes, is this delisted has written, she cannot fully thrust her crotch bone and flex her chesticles.
Oh.
If she can't coochie-coo, then what's left to live for in the world? Charo is, she has some sort of leg injury.
Did she over-coochie-coo?
I once did a conga line with Charo.
Can she still coochie coo? She's got to be a thousand by now.
Yeah, exactly.
She can coochie coo. I conga lined with her on I've Got a Secret.
Oh, right. Of course you did.
My TV show just a few years ago.
Yeah.
She was perfectly capable of the coochie and the coo.
Well, obviously, something went downhill very quickly.
Something's
then.
Gone awry.
Yeah,
in
she
Charo
was
World.
Over coochie cooing for her. I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. I don't want her. And scared me for a long time. Because you got to understand, like, my entire. Like, from puberty till now, she was well past the arc of any, you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes,
like,
little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, maybe 1973. Mm. Wow. But I missed that whole
73,
way.
That was,
exactly.
Was,
yeah.
Doing it for you. Okay.
And that's when also just the fact that a woman was foreign made her sexy.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, a sexy is only useful for sex. That's what I did. Very, very.
20 minutes after the hour.
Baby boomer thing.
Speaking of sexy, we mm-hmm. will talk about Levi Johnson's spread.
Johnson?
Yes. Exactly.
Levi's Johnson.
Levi's Johnston. Yeah. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
In fact, there's a distinct possibility that by the end of the day, we'll all be going to hell.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, we are in the midst of the hump days with Hal.
And Hal is putting up a picture.
Yes, I Twittered the picture.
Yes, it brings new meaning to hump days with Hal.
Yes, it does.
So go to Hal's Twitter page at Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hal was riding the big host chair with Mama.
It's true.
And you did thrust back.
Yeah, you did.
The chair malfunctioned. Uh-huh. I didn't do it on purpose.
She did a little toss back.
It was, no, the chair, see, the thing went...
Uh-huh.
Oops. Uh-huh. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free for many. How dare you sexualize me?
Just drop a hanky right
that
in front of
That was my Sarah Palin
right,
impression.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was her problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
The sexualization, not the anti-intellectual stance she took.
Dopiness.
Here's the part. It's perfectly okay to be sexy and smart, but you can't be sexy instead of smart, especially if you're running for office or trying to be in any position of authority.
Hal, I don't mean to drop you in mid-sentence, but there's a rich guy with a private plane that wants to fly me to New York. Oh. Hi, James in Illinois.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I know you hate that question, but I've got two other questions for
yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
I wanted to know if I could be the official private pilot of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, now you call.
Right. Well, you're going to be coming back and forth quite a bit.
Yes, true.
Yeah.
Do you, how do I know you're not a creepy stalker?
Yeah.
Then we'll drop my body parts over the country.
Because he's got a plane. I mean, you can only be so creepy and stalkerish and still be managed.
Jeffrey Dahmer had a freezer.
Can I bring my two giant dogs on the plane?
Didn't fly, though.
No, that's exactly what I said. I'd be honored to take your pets for you.
Wow.
Aww.
How much will this cost, Mama?
You know what? I listen to you every morning. Unfortunately, I have to drive a van professionally, so I listen to you guys from 8 a.m. to when you guys are off, and you make my mornings. So it's on me.
Aww. Now, that's very sweet. No, wait, so do you own a plane?
You know, unfortunately, I have to rent.
Oh.
So you have to rent a plane and pay for jet fuel, and you're going to do that for free with no expectations of sexual favors from Mama at any point during in the so-called cockpit.
Hey, I wouldn't complain.
Right. Notice no mention of the pets.
Let Rebecca jot concerned. Your name down. All right, thank you, James.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Rebecca, get his name.
Get his digits.
Let's Google that and see what's up.
Rebecca, get his digits, please.
For the record, I can rent a plane, too. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you
don't
have to fly it. Yeah. No, but...
No.
Well, when you fly a small private
Can't
plane across the country,
those...
you have to stop and refuel, like, every so often, don't you?
Sure.
You watch how Sparks will end up in Gitmo. He'll start taking flying lessons.
Right. I don't need to know how to land.
I don't have to land. I just got to get some...
Get it up in the air, like 1941.
I'm just trying to get a little tail from Stephanie Miller.
Exactly.
Why do I need to land?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I get one of those inflatable...
How does life get better after that? Might as well have crashed anyways.
Can
that
I
was
just
fantastic.
Can I just get one of those inflatable pilots like an airplane?
Right, exactly.
Autopilot.
Auto, yeah.
Auto. Auto, the pilot.
Yes, exactly.
All right, 28 minutes after the hour, we didn't even get to Levi's Johnston. We'll get to that. And
also, we have some incredible Glenn Beck audio.
Yes. Oh, dear God, that's right.
Yes.
Don't go away.
It's stunning. I brought it with me from home.
Thank you, Hal.
Yeah.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Here comes the woman who made February the hottest month of the year.
Stephanie Miller.
33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We've been arguing during commercial, but why shouldn't I let a total stranger fly me across the country? Most of my body parts will get there.
Right, just not in their proper order.
Yeah. You don't know. Someone else wants to invite me to some suite somewhere. Hello, oh. Charles in Buffalo.
Stephanie, Mook.
Yes. Hi.
How are you?
I'm not a Mook, but I'll
yeah,
say
you are.
Hi.
Yes, you are.
Am I? No, I'm a felon.
Well, this is the official Marxist, atheist, homosexual, Episcopalian.
Oh.
Atheist Episcopalian?
Yeah.
Fascinating. All right.
Yeah, they have girl priests, so I'm there.
Okay.
Hal, I'm still having impure thoughts about you. From Queer
as Folk. Well, one of the things I've never demanded from fans or friends is purity, so fear not.
Yes.
Stephanie, are you coming to Buffalo for Thanksgiving?
Oh, I'm not, honey. My family lives down in Charlotte, North Carolina now. I'm going down there actually for Christmas now because I have to move to New York over Thanksgiving.
Right, they're all Freemasons.
Oh, too bad, because I was going to invite you to a beautiful hotel where I work in Buffalo called the Mansion on Delaware Avenue.
Mm. That men try to trick me into that by saying they're gay.
Right.
They're a gay Episcopalian atheist.
Absolutely.
Would you like to come to a private suite? Why, certainly.
Of course, absolutely. Where did all these men come from? Why does this drink taste salty? Why am I dizzy all of a sudden?
Fly me in this plane somewhere. Okay.
Yummy.
It would be like the Austin Powers plane. He picks me up in, right?
Yeah, with a circular.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
Don't so
make you horny, baby, do I?
All right, Tank Jones, damn him, delisted, very upset. Tank Jones lied to us all. He promised that Levi Johnston, that he's Levi Johnston's manager.
Yes, Tank Jones is.
Tank Jones.
Yes, would give us a clear shot of the goods in the upcoming
Playgirl.
They both
sound like porn actors' names, like two gay porn actors, Tank Jones and Levi Johnson. Starting together in Playgirl.
You can't
see Playing
it, right?
Girl this week, you'll find out.
There's a hockey stick involved. You can't see nothing. D-listed writes, you can lie about a lot of things, but you should never lie about Levi Johnson's peen and me are done professionally.
You're
done. Done, done.
He overpromised and underdelivered. And
meanwhile,
that's a no-no in showbiz.
That's right.
Yeah.
Especially
show
in
your
porn.
Wiener business. Right.
Meanwhile, Sarah Palin's still whining about being sexualized.
Tell me if you feel this. Tingle.
Oh, you're good.
This calls for a sexy party.
Some are even talking about her sex appeal.
A sexy bitch.
Sarah Palin sexualized herself.
She's gotten people really excited. She does sort of take command. And she is very, very comfortable interacting, whether it's on a one-on-one basis or with a large crowd.
Guys and gals.
It would be...
That's
you
crazy.
Guys sexualized
that's,
Sarah Palin.
That's
she
crazy.
She sexualized
she's
herself.
A woman.
Look with the winking.
She's
what vice presidential candidate
woman?
Has ever winked?
When Palin dropped her first wink, sat up a little straighter on the couch and said,
"Oh,
hey, I think she just winked at me."
Oh my God!
Next thing you know, we'll be sharing a cigarette in post-coital bliss.
Come on! That's what I think when I see her all the time.
Yeah, you think she's hot?
Huh?
Do you think she's hot?
You know, if I was, the short answer is yes, but in certain contexts.
Okay.
If she was kind of like my seventh grade English teacher or something, and
yes.
I was still in seventh grade, and or like she was much younger when I was in seventh grade, and now I was well out of school, and that kind of, and this is the same age she was, I'd be like, this Palin still looks pretty hot. I think I could hook that up.
Here she is with Bobble Wazos.
Towards the end of the campaign, the press reports quoted unnamed McCain aides calling you a diva, you know, this, a whack job, a narcissist. Why do you think these people were trying to destroy your reputation?
For some people, this is a business. And if failure in this business was going to reflect poorly on them, they had to kind of pack their own parachutes and protect themselves and their reputation so they wouldn't be blamed. I'll take the blame, though, because I know at the end of the day what the truth is, and if it makes them feel better to be able to say she's the one who caused the downfall because she had a lousy interview one day, then so be it.
Notice for the record that she doesn't deny that she was about like a weight on the entire campaign. She actually says if they, you know, if they want to assign blame, I'll take it because you know, and she's not arguing against it. And at other points does she say, at any point does she say, no, my behavior was totally professional.
Mm-hmm.
No, I believe in conducting myself in a, you know, in a professional and honest way. None of that. There's not a moment of defense. It's simply just it's just CYA on their part. And that's the end of the conversation.
Yep. She just continues to be just petty and partisan and offer nothing.
Right.
To
she
our
knows
national
tape is going to come up if she denies it.
Yep. All right. Speaking of right wing whack jobs, Hal Sparks has brought a show and tell today, Glenn Beck.
Yes, he's brought props.
Okay,
Glenn
yes.
Beck on
so,
healthcare.
Yeah, this is Glenn Beck. First of all, he had SEIU members standing in the control room, apparently holding their arms crossed. If you look at this clip, it's available on Crooks and Liars if you go there. But
they're actors who are...
Yeah, they're actors in SEIU, and he's using a Brooklyn accent to make them sound threatening. And then he holds up the healthcare bill, which is 2,000 pages, mm-hmm. and he says, this is only 17 holds up the Constitution. Like, okay, that's idiotic beyond belief, that every bill that comes through that has any kind of money appropriation or whatever is huge. There's a defense appropriation bill every year that's 300 pages long. The Constitution is a set of principles, but that's moronic. So right when you think, that's what he said right before this clip, and then right when you think he can't get any dumber or more offensive or psychotic, this is his quote about what... This is his analogy for what Obama trying to give us health care reform is.
We are, excuse this analogy, but I feel like it's true, we're the young girl saying, no, no, help me, and the government is Roman Polanski. In the end, I think we're all going to be cowering in France.
Mm. What? Oh. Okay, first of all, at no point during the time that Roman Polanski raped that girl, was he concerned that she would be denied medical coverage because rape is a pre-existing condition? Let's be real clear.
Thank you.
His lack of understanding of that entire thing, that lately everybody has found out that rape has been used as a pre-existing condition to deny people. So he's that lack of...
Yes, you have a tendency to either get hit or get raped, and so bye-bye.
Exactly.
He says no.
And then at the end he says, well, in my opinion, we'll all be cowering in France or whatever, which makes us Roman Polanski.
Not
and
the girl.
Exactly. Yeah. He turns the analogy completely
backwards.
On its head. Yeah, it's so beyond stupid.
He brought a portable right-wing world with him.
He did. Oh, so angry when I saw that. Here's the thing. You can have your stupid, insensitive, sexist, bat-crazy, friggin' idiotic analogy. But stick with it.
Yeah, try to stick through the whole analogy all the way
exactly.
to the end.
Exactly. Because everybody was nodding with you. Your moronic, sheepish followers were nodding the whole way.
Oh, speaking of one, which here's one now. Pete in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Hal. Hi, Pete.
Hi, good afternoon. Good. How are you?
Well, good. How are you doing,
it's
Pete?
It's morning here, but okay.
Okay.
All right.
I got a question.
Sure.
You know, you guys are so anti-Beck and Hannity and all that. Y'all ask me if I'm a conservative, and yes, I certainly am. But how come, whatever, you don't mention what happened to Anita Dunn and Van Jones and these people that obviously are gone on account of their shows?
Anita Dunn was only going to be there for a short time. She took the job on a temporary basis.
Yeah,
yeah.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
But you won't hear that reported on Fox News.
Right. Exactly.
What about Van Jones?
And what about Van Jones?
Van Jones was run off by Glenn Beck because Van Jones was able to get how many sponsors to drop Glenn Beck?
Yeah.
It was obviously payback.
Right. Yeah. Glenn Beck has said incredibly, I believe, racist remarks. We're going to turn around his language on the president. And Van Jones started an organization to call him out on it. And Glenn Beck lost sponsors because the sponsors watched the program and went, wow, they're right. That was why Van Jones was drummed out.
Absolutely.
He was drummed out because Glenn Beck lost sponsors?
Yeah,
Van Jones was behind the Color of Change, an organization that was calling on sponsors to drop Glenn Beck because of his comments about the president being a racist.
So Glenn Beck had a vendetta against Van Jones.
Right. And so Van Jones, rather than distract, stepped down and went back to community organizing, which is a perfectly legitimate and a better use for him actually.
And by the way,
being.
Pete, I mean, they totally look. You can take anything that anyone's done and try to misconstrue it. He simply signed a petition saying he had questions about 9/11, which a lot of people do, and a lot of people think the 9/11 Commission was a whitewash.
Right.
They make it sound like he was some sort of wild-eyed, crazy conspiracy theorist.
Do you actually believe that the official story behind 9/11 yourself?
Oh, definitely. And I think the man actually walked on the moon, too.
Are you being
yes.
ironic?
I believe in the men walk on the moon, too.
Okay.
All right. I'm being truthful. You know, the people that...
So you believe the story behind 9/11, which is that the worst security failure in our history happened on the Bush administration watch.
Of course, but how long was he in office?
So it's really Clinton's failure. Okay. All right. 43 minutes out to the hour. I knew that was going.
Yeah, it's good. Right. So, by the way, so basically his argument, though, is much like the Palin argument, which is what Glenn Beck does doesn't matter. It's what other people do.
Wait a minute. On that theory, if we have a terrorist attack now, it's still on George Bush's watch.
Absolutely. Well, we've also got another, 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
43 minutes after the hour, right back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ex-Catholic girls gone wild. Her grade school nuns would like to slap her silly. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, the Dow is down 32 points. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Only based on the scale of today, from a year ago, it's up almost 50%.
That's right.
Oh, and noted economist Hal Sparks predicts that by March, the Dow will hit 12,000.
12,000.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Because there are enough undervalued stocks that it'll draw investors, and a lot of it'll be foreign money, but it'll be back in the machinery of it. The truth is, it can sustain honestly a 17,000 number on that inflated BS kind of economy we had a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So it can get to 12 just through investment.
Who needs Ali Velshi on the show?
Yeah, I was on Ali Velshi's show.
That's right, you were.
Barbara in took him down to Chinatown.
Right, totally.
Economically speaking,
right.
Barbara in San Francisco wants to point out that Hal Smart's smart. And pretty. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, good morning, Steph. I was listening to the Episcopalian atheist guy.
Yes,
right.
Mentioning about Hal being cute, and I Googled him, and he's just a fox.
And the guy's so hot. Barbara.
Yeah, so try it with Safe Search off, see what you get.
So cute.
I love the show.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you. I listen to you guys every morning. And
he makes
great.
Me all giggly and nervous. He always comes over during the commercial
Thank
breaks
you.
And touches me inappropriately.
It's true.
And I'm like, okay, let's talk about the terror trials next.
Yeah, exactly. That's immediately what comes. You should see the reaction.
That's
I get
exactly
from
what happened during the last break.
Yeah, well, it's nice to know that Barbara's out there, and if I needed to touch someone inappropriately, that she wouldn't be freaked out.
There have got to be some screen caps of you on Queer as Folk.
Oh, yes.
In the
throes.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Yeah, there's a decent amount of nudity out there to be found.
Hello, Helen in Albuquerque.
Yeah, I want to see if I'm paying attention.
Okay.
So the last caller said that George Bush couldn't possibly be responsible for 9/11 because it was so early in his presidency.
Yes, right.
Yes.
Yet Barack Obama is responsible for everything that happened since he announced that he was running for president.
Yes. Including the fall of the stock market and the economic.
Thanks for paying attention, Helen. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's Barack Obama's war, and it's
his
Barack
deficit,
Obama's economy,
his recession,
it's his deficit,
yes.
It's his recession. Yes.
Yes. Dave in Long Beach about Glenn Beck as well. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Steph. Van Jones, regarding him, there's one other thing. He got arrested in a peaceful protest once, and that's gone through the Glenn Beck filter, and that's why our right-wing friend brought him up, because Van Jones is actually a convicted felon who's done several stretches of jail time.
Which is absolutely not true. But because he actually he was there reporting on it and got swept up with a bunch of other people.
And they were
doing outreach. Yeah.
Or Glenn Beck's world, a convicted criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Reed Black person.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it is. Did you see that roundtable he had with black conservatives? It's stunning. Glenn Beck was sitting there going, I'm going to ask all the dumb questions that white people have. Well, not all of us have those questions, actually.
You. Some of us are actually friends with.
Yeah, right. We actually have deep, long-lasting friendships with black people, and it doesn't make us wake up in the morning afraid of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Eric Holder, Attorney General, who we're also not afraid of, on the terror trial.
In making the decision that I made, I'm obviously cognizant of what we have done in the past, but focused really on what we're going to have to do in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. you know, be a nation of laws, yep, and stand by our own standards. And if you want to argue that the Constitution is so important from the Glenn Beck standpoint, then we have to honor it. We have to stand by who we are.
Did you see O'Reilly last night finally admitted, I don't care about the Constitution?
What?
Right, yes.
What made him say that? What made him say that?
Judge Big Forehead.
Oh, Judge Andrew Napolitano?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. As you know, Fox News personalities have been hysterical about the
KSM. Yeah.
Yes.
Because our judicial system cannot handle it.
No.
Absolutely.
They've
been watching too much Tango and Cash. They're afraid. Seriously, they're afraid someone is going to show up in a van,
yes,
and abduct him to some sort of underground lair, you know, in Cleveland or something, or Michigan.
Turner and Hooch will show up.
Absolutely.
And Hooch will bite a guard on the knee. And
exactly.
Then, yes. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Okay, so
mayhem will ensue.
Fox News top legal analyst.
Judge
Big Forehead. What's his name?
Judge Andrew Napolitano. He of Brian and the Judge.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Wacky Morning Show.
Mm-hmm.
He disputed the view, citing constitutional right to be tried in the place where the crime has been committed. I don't care about the Constitution, O'Reilly said, so why is he entitled to come to New York City to be tried in a civilian criminal court if he's arrested in Pakistan? And Napolitano said, because the document you don't want me to talk about says when the government is going to prosecute you, it must do so in the place where the alleged harm was caused.
Right.
How about that? Well, go, Judge.
Or you have to file for a change of venue because you believe your client cannot get a fair trial in that area. Okay.
Yes.
And it's very hard to prove that your client cannot get a fair trial.
Right, exactly. Well, and also, in a terror trial, they're less apt to move those kind of things anyways because it's a larger, you know, you obviously have attacked the entire country.
Right.
You just did it in one particular place.
Right.
Did you see this guy, Representative John Shadegg, Republican of Arizona? He was the one that used the baby prop. He had a seven-month-old girl on the floor during the health care debate.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That was one of his staff's kids.
Yes. Yeah. He is now taking aim at Mayor Michael Bloomberg for having the gall to claim that New Yorkers aren't afraid of hosting terror trials. He said, I saw the mayor in New York today say, we're tough, we can do it. Well, Mayor, how are you going to feel when it's your daughter that's kidnapped at school by a terrorist? That's nice. He dragged the
mayor.
He
has no problem using other people's kids for political ends. That's the running gag with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, hey, can I borrow your baby for a second? I want to make a dumb point. Hey, you've got children. Let me scare the rest of the world using your kids.
Yeah, unbelievable.
God, John Shadegg is such a scaredy cat.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true. Mm-hmm. Well, then my biggest issue post 9/11 was what I call the 9/11 Republicans,
mm-hmm,
the big stampede towards being, you know, like, we're gonna hang by the skirt of the president and you know, like that 9/12 project that Glenn Beck always pushes or whatever. He's like, we need to get back to where we were on 9/12. On 9/12, we were xenophobic and panicked and willing to blow up anyone. We were willing to go to Iraq,
including our own constitution.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
We would let our rights go out the window.
Yep.
Just on 9/12, just to be safe. That's not a good mental headspace to run a country from or have ethics or any kind of morals.
Right. Yep, absolutely. So today may be a big day for healthcare. Harry Reid waiting for the CBO estimate. It will be completed maybe this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. He's noncommittal about a test vote before Thanksgiving, but are you still optimistic?
Yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I mean, it's. I'm not saying it won't be an uphill battle, and I think that, obviously the abortion issue kind of threw a monkey wrench in things to some degree, but I think the wording will be, it will go right back to where it was. I think everybody who was fighting for it was to draw a line saying that, you know, there shouldn't be government funding specifically, but right now, the Stupak amendment.
We had Joe Sestak on today.
Yeah,
don't
Sestak's
say the Sestak
awesome.
Amendment.
I was like, he's awesome. Stupak's amendment basically, you know, carried further and made it so that you couldn't even get supplemental reproductive insurance that covered abortion. The thing was that if you needed extra insurance just to cover reproductive issues, mm-hmm, let's say fertility and things like that, if you might have an issue in the future and you want to have kids, a lot of those packages include abortion. And so they were trying to get that wiped away so that you couldn't get any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to go away. There's no way that's going to stay. But they still will maintain a thing where, you know, the government insurance won't pay directly for abortion. You can get supplemental insurance. You'll be able to keep it. That will
mm-hmm
definitely
mm-hmm
be in the Senate bill, and that will go back to the House, and nobody will gripe about it.
The president, as you know, in China, has thus far not thrown up on anybody, has not rudely grabbed anyone's suit jacket.
Yes.
As George Bush
shoulders,
did.
Yeah, yes. Rubbed anyone.
No.
Right.
Has not chewed anything
with
his mouth
open.
Nor has
he held hands at length with any of the leaders. Yes. And walked, had gone on long walks through the pastures holding hands.
With, like a perfume commercial, or a douche commercial.
Exactly. Well, George that makes
Bush,
sense.
George Bush and any Saudi leader look like a douche commercial.
Right, like, I feel fresh. Yeah, like, hold my hand. I'm not, you know.
Do you have problems with palm sweating?
Obama stressed U.S. Respect for China's sovereignty, including over Tibet. He also publicly called on Beijing to resume its dialogue with aides to the Dalai Lama to, quote, resolve any concerns the two sides may have. Well, here's, I think, Tibet's side is...
Leave us alone.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want anything from here.
They have a little bit of an issue in that they'd like their country back. But, yeah.
Well, you know, you have a couple of big issues there in why, you know, because China doesn't want the cool parts of Tibet, per se, the mountainous regions where all the stuff, what we think of as Tibet.
The cool parts.
Yeah, the cool parts. The part that people go, ooh, Tibet. They don't want that part. They want the lower regions where you can put pipelines through and stuff like that. Yeah.
All right, that is it for Hump Days with Hal. It was good for me. I hope it was good for you.
Mm-hmm. Where can we find out more?
Follow me on Twitter, Hal Sparks, or on Facebook or on MySpace, if you still do that, whatever. But I won't be here next week. I'll be in Dubai.
Oh, wow. Hal, you're in fancy pants.
But I will
see you
be
tomorrow
here.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.